Bit of a different preview episode to start the season. First of all, congratulations, everybody. We made it. As you listen to this podcast, we are just days away from Iowa football taking the field against South Dakota State. And we have a guy in the program today who was in both of those buildings within a couple year span. Brandon Snyder joins the show, played for the Jackrabbits and the Hawkeyes. We talk about this game with him. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 347 of this very podcast. And today, back with more game week energy, actually, like 5 minutes after we just recorded the last podcast, game week energy. And it's pregame episode one, kind of a unique pregame episode one for us because this is a former teammate, but also a former bunny rabbit. So he's a friend, a brother, and an enemy at the same time, kind of a unique perspective here. My brother, Brandon Snyder, on the podcast. Very, very happy to have you, pal. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the dumbest show on earth.
No doubt, literally. It has been since it started, so.
What's up?
Yeah, it's a weird deal, definitely. Hawks and Jacks, we'll see.
This one has been a long time coming, Snipes.
Man, what? We've been talking about this for so long. I watched the OGs. I used to watch with Drake when you just started this thing, you know, when I lived with him. So I used to sit in on like Kittle. I know Kittle did one, and I just like got to sit and watch and like to see where it is now is really insane, man. But this has been a long time coming, like you said.
Yeah, dude, we're second only to Joe Rogan.
What?
Yes.
No.
I'm all in on that.
We are.
Come on.
We are still doing it.
I'm doing it.
It's been, we're coming up on year four here.
October
anniversary here soon.
October 6th will be the 4 year anniversary of.
We started this on my.
Oh, wow. Hey,
10-6 is good, man.
10-6 is great, pal.
I sat down at a poker table for the first time in forever this week. Got beat by 10-6 full house.
It's always good.
Dude, it's like, Drake, you're a bastard. I hate you so much.
10-6 is even better for Kluber because it pays his bills.
Yeah, it's good. It helps pay the bills around here.
Drake, you still playing?
No.
No.
No. I just train all the time.
I know.
And play with my dogs. I got dogs to play with, not poker hands.
COVID ruined Drake's poker career.
It did. It completely ruined it.
I guarantee you there's stories.
There's worse careers to walk away from.
I would love to hear the stories, Drake.
Yeah, I was a super degenerate, Bell.
Ah.
Have you listened to the one where KF called into the office and thought that he was in some like deep underground illegal shit?
Did you not hear this story, Snyder?
Bro, what is this story?
Yeah, I got called
the principal's office.
There was some guy that I played poker with that I must have beaten who sat down at a bar with an NFL scout who was in for practice that week. And the guy was asking about, do you know anybody? And he was talking mad shit on my name, saying I was doing illegal gambling and shit. And then the scout took it to KF, and the KF called me into the principal's office, dude.
That was a principal, so I know what that's like to walk down to the principal's office. He's like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough.
Wow, keep my name out your mouth. That's crazy.
So –
that's just crazy. He just happens to sit next to a guy who's going to go talk to KF the following day.
Right. Yeah. So, Snides, is this a weird week for you?
A little weird for sure.
You've been inside both buildings. What is the what's the temperature on your side of this thing?
I think I have to start with Iowa and just like my overall feel for the way the Hawks look right now and the people that they have on the roster and the type of machine I think that they're about to be.
They're a pretty good team, right?
We got especially on the defensive side of the ball and the recruits coming in. And It feels a little bit different. I definitely didn't belong on this type of a team. So I'm glad I played when I did, got there when I did, because I would not belong anymore. Yeah, it's going to be hard to be a walk-on, man.
It's going to get harder to be a walk-on.
It's going to be a – oh, man.
But, hey, man, we still got one. Quinn Schulte is going to be locking down the secondary, walk-on nation.
Secondary, who is the four?
So it's going to be him, Terry Roberts, Riley Moss, and then Kayvon Merriweather.
Hey, what's it feel like to be Quinn Schulte holding off Iowa's most famous player?
Man, just exactly what it has been for history.
Enjoy your time. Like,
five star recruit coming in.
That's gonna, you know, you got to enjoy each day as it is, for sure.
Enjoy it while it lasts, probably.
But also, like, what a dog.
Yeah.
Come on now. Hold it down, bro.
There's been a little prototype there for a while.
Not by accident.
It's, you know, there's a, I don't know how to dance around this other than saying, like, there's been a short white guy in the safety position that's been, man, you know, we found a way.
Well, there's a really short, crippled white guy leading the defense who happened to play defensive back.
Hey, man, he was damn good at it, too.
He was damn good at it.
Have you guys seen film of Coach Parker? I've never seen any.
I've seen a little bit of film, yeah. So my dad played at Illinois, as everyone knows. My mom had some of his games recorded, and they played at Michigan State one year, and Phil Parker had a pick six.
Was he hunting heads?
He was taking it back to the house, and he was separating from dudes. He was
He could run.
Yeah.
He was getting loose.
No knees could run, huh? Because he got no knees now, right?
Oh, bro.
He's got biomechanical knees now. He's half running.
I don't know how many times I watched him and Wallace and Brian take off on a jog up Melrose after a practice to do, like, I don't know, 2 mile, 14 minute pace jog for their workout for the day.
2 miles better than I can do.
That's true. But yeah, this is weird, Snides. This is this defense is crazy, like you said. We're in that defensive back room for what, 3 years?
Four years,
made it 4 years. No. So no. You know all about.
I got my Iron Hawk.
Yeah, bro, you know all about Coach Parker. A meeting with Coach Parker, how those meetings go. What are some of the differences after you made your way over to the Jackrabbits? What does the dichotomy of those two programs look like?
Just different. The time and like the film. You know, I think Kevin could speak to that. I think is the biggest difference. There's a couch in the meeting room for a reason. Like that is a campsite for Iowa defensive backs, and that's.
Let's be honest. That's for the man in the back.
That's for one person.
I'm pretty sure
he's got to be one.
I'm pretty sure there's only one meeting room that had a couch, and it was the DB room. Old Phil would just sit back there, and like, get comfortable, boys. We're going till his bell rings.
At least
you guys were last to eat, no doubt.
Every time, you know, it's just Phil's expectation, Coach Parker's expectations for understanding and football knowledge and understanding of the defense. I think he's the best at that in the country, I would argue.
I would say he runs great meetings. Like I was really never, like, you know, like you're sitting in class, like at school, whatever subject it is, and you're just looking at the clock, waiting for it. You see other kids walking past the door because they're getting let out. Mm-hmm.
The worst.
I would say it was never the same way when position meetings. Like he's a great teacher and always keeps you engaged.
That's spot on. 100%. 100%.
You go over to the Jackrabbits and you finish out your career there. Now you're like coach of the year over in the Omaha area.
I don't know about that. It's early, right, man? It's week one.
I still follow you on Twitter. I see you retweeting. They got athletes coming out of this area somewhere around there.
Oh my! Omaha,
it does look like Omaha is
crazy. Omaha is crazy, man. I'm trying to really get in Omaha. It's mail or over. It's bigger than Des Moines. It feels a lot bigger than Des Moines. So, like, they're comparable though, but I don't know, man. It's different. They're definitely different. I'm trying to get crossover games between Des Moines and Omaha because I think it's different.
I saw you. I saw that. What? Yeah, that was. What is the official title? What are you coaching? Or what are you?
And you think Omaha beats the shit out of Dowling, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Is Dowling even top dog in the state of Iowa anymore?
They're good. I don't know who the top. Southeast Polk. Dowling.
I want a shot, Drake.
Ankeny's.
I don't doubt you. I mean, you know what good football talent is. You don't got to convince me. I'm just kind of surprised.
It's really interesting. Seven World's taking off, man. Taking yeah, that's true. Off. 7-on-7's taking off. And I feel like in Omaha, we're like pretty groundbreaking in that. We have a lot of like football track guys. So between January and middle of March to end of March, we'd go to like four tournaments, but we're once or twice a week on turf in the off season. So you can really start to compound some off season work if you're getting that, and the kids are, they understand, like they're redefining, like, cool. And I said that a lot, like they are about it. Like they're cracking kids, they're physical, and they're turning into great young men. And that's why it's successful. So it's a lot of fun to be in Omaha right now, basketball and football wise. So
I was going to say, from what I can tell, you don't sleep right now. Like all you do is work. You work at some facility, like some big performance center, and coach AU basketball, and you're coaching 7-on-7, and do you have anything to do with like an actual high school team?
Yeah. So football wise, I coach at Bellevue West.
So you also coach at Bellevue.
My main job is at Omaha Sports Academy.
Okay.
It's a youth sports facility. I just do basketball. So okay. I don't even like train. I literally just coach basketball for a living. And it's awesome.
So you're just all awesome. Day, every day.
You can't even hoop.
Oh, I can hoop.
You can't even
hoop. Anybody that I played this week, come on. Some of the young bucks, we used to play as freshmen, man. Come on. Disrespect. Sam Brings going crazy. Parker, has he? Getting buckets. Giving Miles and Josh buckets. Aaron, man, terrible.
You just named two guys that cannot play the sport of basketball.
Man, I don't know. Josh Rando could.
Not Josh. Parker and Sam.
Oh, yeah. No, Sam. Yeah, Parker, he's still in that middle ground. Like, what is he? Is he a big guy or is he a little guy? He's still playing that tight end.
He's still trying.
Sam was a lefty, so Sam had some game, man.
I got beef with both Sam and Parker because both of them have been ducking this podcast for 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, they don't want anything to do with it. It's just not their thing, and it's fine.
I want Sam to come on, and Sam's like, well, I work in the program, and I don't want to, And I talked to Parker, and Parker's like, well, I'm going to come on, but just like not now, not now. And
that would be awesome. You have Bishy on.
We had Bishy on.
Man, he was awesome.
Bishy was
an awesome dude.
We can all learn a lot from Bishy.
Yeah, bro. He's, does anybody have a more open, bigger heart than Bish?
Pretty good kid.
Bishy's like one of those dudes that, never touched the field. You just love to have him in the program, though.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, for all of our listeners right now, because there may be some people who since we've had Brandon on, Brandon Bishop, not Brandon Snyder, obviously, go back. I don't have the episode number, but I'm going to guess that it's in the late 100s somewhere, mid to late 100s. And go listen to the Brandon Bishop episode. You guys will not. It is not a waste of your time. It is probably of the 300 and almost 50 that we've done. It is no doubt inside the top 10 of the most that we've gotten responses to. People who reached out and said,
wow.
Just had something to say about that podcast to either my personal account or the Wash Up Walk-Ons account. And Brandon, when I saw him at whose wedding was it? Jake's? Gervas's? I believe it was Gervas's wedding. He said that the response that he got from our listeners who went and found his social media accounts and reached out to him was absurd. So that is an episode. And obviously, Brandon, you were boys with Brandon. So it was he's a good dude. He is a jackrabbit. That's how I would describe him.
Definitely. He's something. Worth the listen.
The game this weekend, South Dakota State are they number two in FCS coming into this year? Did I see that somewhere?
I'd imagine they're top five. for sure top 10. I'm sure they're top five.
Do you still keep in tune with them?
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, there's a lot of crossover. I mean, that's one of the best things about it, was getting to meet a whole nother group of guys that are, mm-hmm. you know, still doing the same thing. Some of my best friends to this day are, you know, guys I met there and in that time. So, like, that was a huge blessing. But also, like, recruiting-wise, you know, like, Coach Rogers, who was the D coordinator, is, you know, it's cool how, like, Dan Jackson, who was a corners coach there, is now at Vanderbilt. There's a lot of, like, crossover of people that coach me that now, you know, are interested in our kids or in Omaha kids or just want information or Des Moines. Because I was working in Northwest Iowa too for a while at a different facility. So I've been like a nomad. So I stay in touch with all those guys. There's some really good guys. Their culture's changed since I was there. I think they've, especially up front, I think you'll be impressed with their O-line. They can really run the ball, man. Like they hide it really well with a lot of jet and goofy formations and quarterback run game. They lost their quarterback in that. They played in the spring in the championship game and lost. They lost him in the first quarter to ACL, I believe. And so he didn't play all last year. They got a transfer in, Chris, who got picked up by the Steelers. And Gronkowski will be back, and he could really run. He's a big, like, he can run. Definitely.
You've got a quarterback with the name Gronkowski?
Yeah, something like that.
She's pretty sick.
Yeah. It's related. He can, so, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they want to run him much in the first game of the year. You know, like, what, how much does the game mean to SDSU? Because they have to play a 17-game schedule or whatever, 16, 17, 15.
That's like, if you that's go all the way to the championship.
That's the crazy thing about NDSU is they played, like, multiple extra seasons than everybody else because they keep playing that many games into the postseason. They're playing 15, 16-game seasons. So if you add four more games over 10 years that they've won 8 out of 10. Like,
not just the games. That's four more weeks of practice each year.
Yep.
That's huge for your young guys. Yeah, I can guarantee you if I was doing the same thing, they'd be having Devo practices every week.
Devo, let's hit it. Hit it.
Yeah, all right, let's call it up. And then we got the Devo guys. You're going to go ahead and strap on the shoulder pads and we'll get back to it.
You got any good Devo memories, Brandon?
No.
There's no such thing as good Devo memories. Kamikaze, what is that?
Dude. Devo is straight kamikaze mode, dude. You were just trying to hit everything. That's it. You're just so mad that you're out there.
Devo was everything. Like, you know, like, smack. Let's see who wants Drake to probably. Be here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I didn't really want to be there that bad. I don't know how I made it 5 years. I really didn't want to be there that bad.
I don't know how you did it, honestly. Really?
Oh, dude. So many reps. Of the same plays.
So stupid. The easiest plays known to football.
Yeah, everyone knows them. Making checks, and here it comes.
Did they do?
Get a set of four? It's gonna be a B play. It's gonna be a boss play. You're gonna get a play action pass, and you're gonna get one drop back pass
and drop the field.
Did they run maybe three different formations? Yeah,
maybe.
Did they run Devo at SDSU?
I don't know. I wasn't worried about it. I was. There was no Devo at that point. I was held together with tape, man.
Like, you were the vet.
That was connecting me was not what was supposed to be connecting me. So
it's the same coaching staff that you had still there, correct?
Some of the coaches have left. Coach Stig's been there for a long time, so his tenure's up there too.
Okay.
So he's awesome. He's much like Coach Ferentz in the sense where, you know, he kind of stays out of everything. You know, 10,000 feet, and his coaches really have to report to him. Like that's kind of how he leads, is his coaches have to go in depth about his plans and what they're going to run and practicing and practice plans and all that stuff. But he's like a very monotone. He's not like a hot, you know, like Coach Franz, I'm not going to motivate you. You know, that's on you type of a deal, but runs a great program, a consistent program. And I really loves the people in his program. But there's some staff that have left the O coordinator. First and foremost, Coach Idesness and Coach Jackson went to Northern Illinois, and then Coach Jackson is now at Vanderbilt. So two coaches left, and then Coach Eck, who was the O coordinator after Idesness, is now at Idaho, I think. Maybe as the head coach even at Idaho. I don't think he would have gone to O coordinator. I think he's a head coach maybe now. So some staff changes. They have a first-year play caller, Coach Lujan, who – you know, it's like a quarterback
walking into Kinnick in your first game you're ever calling against.
And they're
going to
struggle outside, dude. Their ones are going to struggle, I think. Yeah. Good luck.
Well, against that Iowa secondary, you might find a lot of teams that struggle. I mean, come on now. Like,
they're salty.
And our linebacking core ain't nothing too.
That's the thing.
And the D line's be pretty damn good this year. So
I was going to say that you might want to call the Jackrabbits, bro, and let them know that 31 is about to eat lunch on Saturday. Pop in real quick, just for a hot second. DRF Sportsbook, you're going to hear an exciting new addition to the Ward's Winner segment each week. We're going to have a DRF combo washed up walk-ons boost of the week, right? Think Pat McAfee. He does some boosts with the book that he's sponsored with. DRF and the walk-ons, we're going to have a similar type of thing. Us three, probably Kevin, is going to find a boost, a juicy little bet that might be off the radar, and we're going to partner with DRF and boost that thing. And then not only can you sign up with the promotions that DRF offers, Radio 300 is fully available to use right now to sign up and start making some money on college football this weekend, but you can then also use those promotions on the boost, that is the walk-on specific bet of the week. We will be putting up the what shall we call it, the graphics, Instagram social posts, so that you guys know all about it. It will also be included in the Ward's Winner segment of every Thursday episode before we head into the weekend. So be on the lookout for that. DRF Sportsbook and the walk-ons continuing our partnership, them being the sponsor, title sponsor of this podcast. Shout out to the boys for being the legends that they are. And big old shout out, big old washed up walk-on shout out to AdCraft. I mean, let's be honest, because they are back as sponsors, right? That is financially responsible for us. That makes us happy. But AdCraft is signed on for the season, boys and girls. AdCraft, you've been hearing me talk about it. If you go to their website right now, adcraftwebstores.com, you will see that they've basically got on their hands every high school football, volleyball fundraiser on that side of the state going on. I mean, my guy who is like big dog in the company, the guy that I go back and forth with, he's out in the warehouse packing orders, printing t-shirts. They like to get their hands dirty over there. It's Iowa to the core, right? Our podcast is Iowa football to the core. They are hardworking, blue collar, Iowa human to the core. It's a perfect match. All right. We love having AdCraft on board. We love what they do for our merchandise and how they make our fans, the walk-on army, look while they're in Kinnick Stadium. Shout out to AdCraft for coming back for the season. And now back to the show.
Grown men. Did you see the media day? Looking at them, those three.
Yeah, they're insane.
Like, these are grown men.
Yeah, they're monsters.
Big, like 6 foot. My goodness. That's now, what's crazy is Josie's presence that he carried at what, 6 foot, 6'1"?
Yeah,
6'1", yeah. And then we got Jack now, 6'4", 6'5".
Jacobs, man, you see his IG? Oh my.
He's got some length on him.
He's all body. He's all American, all body team.
He'll be a stand up defensive end, I think, in the next phase of his play.
It's really for him going to come down to the will versus the want, you know? Will versus the want.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh,
Coach Parker,
shit,
all right. Coach Wallace. Yeah,
you got to or you get to.
Yeah.
Got the fucking, I've got the dog punt playbook like in one of these things back.
I'll never forget. Now that we got him on the podcast, week one, we start Wallace and starts installing his shield punt. He's like, we need some dogs on this team. All right. Now, Snyder, you could be a dog. All right. And it's like, this is like a dude. You could be a dude, yeah.
Dude, and his explanation of why he chose the main dog versus all the other dogs, like there were all these other examples of mean, angry-looking dogs, but that dog in the middle was different, and he loved it to talk
about
it.
The Russian bear dog.
The Russian bear dog. Oh,
you know what these dogs do? They just patrol around prisons in Siberia. He said something like, they don't even have guards there. They just have the dogs. It's like, that's just bullshit. That just ain't true.
Like, coach, you're lying.
Goat Wallace is up there making shit up.
Got a bunch of guys.
I did look up Russian bear dogs after that, and they are a menacing looking beast. They can get like 250 pounds or something crazy like that.
Those were the days. Those were the days now.
Days.
Snides, you were in that front row with us.
Yeah.
That definitely. That was a front row now.
Little Mary. Come on. All that.
Fuck, man.
That was a oof.
That God, what a time. What was the
I don't miss special teams at all, man. Special teams meetings sucked.
But that front row kind of felt like a squad though.
Yeah. There was something good about it. I don't know.
It just felt good special to sit in the front row.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I liked being on that, you know, because I was on the unbalanced side of the other side of this. So I was kind of on my own holding that down. That cat technique.
Oh, kitty cat.
OJ's, yeah. OJ's tell us that.
You said by the time you got to SDSU that you were broken and you were hanging on by tape, Snides. Is that, did you have injuries over there, or was that just coming from Iowa too? That, what was the process like there?
Multiple ACL tears.
I know about knees, but anything, what else?
Well, yeah. I don't know if Kevin remembers. I had to pull my hammy at like June 25th or 6th of that last summer. So I was two ACLs and a pulled hammy. I went to SDSU camp and didn't tell them about a hammy and was just like, acted like it was fun. I think they just thought it was really fucking slow.
You would put that nasty crap on your pulled hamstring that smelled like garbage.
Oh, dude. Like,
what was it called again?
Oh, my goodness.
Come on now. So
we're back to the Lomax days.
Lomax got
miles on that, and then I couldn't.
And then all of a sudden, the DB room just stinks of this stuff.
Dude, I used to give Snyder shit for that all the time, and he would.
It's like Bengay, but worse.
It's way worse. No, it's very like pungent. A different level.
No, yeah. It's like horse.
Do not take. Dude. No, don't. No one should use it. It's fine, but it's just not recommended.
It was.
Dude, my body. I showed up though. I was on the field.
You did show up.
That's right.
Yeah, I did show up.
I think for those who are coming from the Hawkeye side of this and remember, Brandon Snyder in Hawkeye uniform, the first play that pops out is the pick six. Tell me about that.
It's like they want a status. Well, I'd already felt it partially tear before that happened.
Because you tore it on that play.
That was my first game back.
Yeah.
So I came back in 5.5 months to the Illinois game, and Ohio State was next.
Yes. Right?
So it was supposed to be a first game back before Ohio State, the game where we just ran them out. There was a play in like the first quarter, end of the first quarter, where the back came through and I was going to go hit him in the B gap, and he like tripped. And so it was either like helmet to helmet or pull back. And so I pulled back and I hyperextended it and just partially tore it. But I felt it because there was like three times in the game where I planted and it just wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
And it was swollen. And so like, I remember telling Imani Hooker on the bench, like this is the, like, I think it's gone already. Like, that was
moral of the story. Never pull out.
Wow. 100.
So what an emotional.
I was crying on that picture. When I crossed the goal line. Yeah. And I almost dropped the ball too. And then I remember Loudy doing the, my first meeting with Coach Parker, we watched the LSU game. And I remember all I remember from that. And we spent like 20 minutes just watching Loudy drop the ball before he crossed the end. I about did that. I was about got hugged because I was looking at the big screen.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the guy from out of bounds. So I'm chilling. I'm already slow. And now I'm running slower because I'm tired. And I have one leg that's working.
I'm already
slow. I almost get hawked and I almost dropped the ball. But all I could realize, like, I just didn't. That was my last game in Kinnick. So, like, that was like, the last memory I have is like everyone. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, our secondary got absolutely shredded with injuries that year. I remember the Wisconsin game. I was a RCH away from having to go in at safety at 225 pounds. Haven't played safety in 2 years because we were just down on dudes.
Yeah.
Imani was out. Miles was out. Jake was, I'm pretty sure, concussed. We just had nobody left. But
yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, man, that's a tough way for your last season as a Hawkeye to go. But, you know, definitely got that one memory for
oh, I wouldn't trade it. Knowing what I know,
it was crazy how quickly you got back from your ACL. Do you think that if you had let it have a little bit more time, it would have been a little stronger, you think? Or you think just another crazy thing? There's no help in it.
Good question. I don't know.
Dude, I think your knees are just prone to tearing those ACLs. It happens three times, it's just something biomechanically that is happening in there that doesn't usually happen.
I think maybe, definitely like on the first one. Both my parents did too, right? So it's like in my genetics, like that's definitely a thing. But then, you know, the second one's probably because of the first one. I didn't wear a brace either, and I that's another factor too. But it doesn't matter. And then the other one I got in the Kennesaw State game, we played there in the quarterfinals when I was at SDSU. And it was like a 30 degree, they were a triple option. And I met a fullback in the hole in the B gap. Cause we, you know, option, you change the way you play. A corner can play pit, whatever. Outside back can play pit, shape. You can, and it's basically your triangle and how you're playing it. But that was the B gap filler, and that shit split like the Red Sea. And I met him at the freaking line of scrimmage, and we were both sleeping.
Oh man.
I was sleeping on top of him, bro, but we were both asleep. But we played NDSU 6 days later in the semis.
Jesus Christ.
So I wasn't missing.
I'm still tripping over you coming back. You finally make it back onto the field. That adrenaline of swarming Kinnick in the pads again. And then you tear it, and you kind of know, everyone knows their own body, especially a Division I athlete. You're pretty body aware.
You're pretty in sync with what's going on.
There was three post middle third breaks that I put it in the ground and it wobbled out. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen. It never happened. It wouldn't have happened if.
But then you catch that ball and you still house it.
Oh, yeah.
And
86.
What is going through your mind? That has got to be. Like, a lot of people ask me that on the Polecat, like, what's going through your mind? And I guess for me, it's a totally different situation, but still sort of this, like, out-of-body experience thing.
Definitely.
I guess I wasn't really thinking at all.
You should have been in your body, and you would have fucking scored.
Would have got there, huh? Would have got there.
That him.
But like,
I watched it yesterday.
You watched the Polecat yesterday?
Yeah, I pulled it up. I was telling somebody about it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. It's
and maybe, maybe shout out Coach Woods.
Shout out, bro.
Dude, shout out Coach Woods.
Somebody's trying to pay him.
It's going to happen.
Well, actually, should I announce that on the podcast? I don't know if I can say that. He got an offer from a major, a different Division I school for mucho money to be their special teams guy.
I wouldn't say it here, but.
Yeah. But.
That's just a matter of time. It's going to be interesting to see what he takes. I think is going to be the.
He's a head coach, man. Like he's a head coach.
He's going to be one of the best ever to do it.
Well, I think his son's is a sophomore in high school now. So he might want to stay at least until he's done.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah. Family matters.
It's so funny how like Mason got that offer from another school. It was just comedy.
Wait, what was that? Coach Wood's kid is really good too. Mason is really good.
Mason, he can play football. Yeah.
Definitely play some football.
Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah, he's a little skinny right now, but you know he's a.
Oh, he's getting bigger. Oh no, dude, he's getting bigger though.
But he's gonna have a very good football frame. He's gonna have some long arms. He'll be able to play some ball. He'll be able to play some ball for sure.
I like to hear that.
Who did he get offered by?
Who was it? It was like a Kansas State or something. Like he went to a camp and I think like with his friends and got an offer. Like,
that's a fun feeling though.
Great feeling.
It's just crazy how like that's what recruiting is now. Is like you got to offer these kids, they're sophomores and sometimes freshmen. They're like, they're not even fully developed, man. You're trying to like see what they possibly could be. You don't even know if this kid's done growing yet. You don't know what he's going to turn into. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy to me what this recruiting is turning into. Mason for sure is going to be.
Now you're just talking Snide's world. That's what he lives there. This guy's this guy's the king of the recruiting market over there. I swear to God, he's pumping out. I mean, Bellevue isn't Bellevue where
tight end and receiver. We went Auburn and Oklahoma last year.
Holy smokes!
Well, the tight end was a big Iowa target, right?
Yeah,
and he chose Auburn over Iowa.
They're all Iowa targets.
They must not have heard about tight end U.
There's a lot of tight ends.
I don't know if they were ready to step into tight end. Yet. I don't know if that was the best. I think it was a good on both sides.
Good fit.
It's perfect. I think it's perfect. Yep. So Iowa's not for everybody, dude.
It's factual.
That is 100% true. It is not for everyone.
Fuck around and end up in
first to tell you.
Fuck around and end up in a lawsuit against the coaches.
Fucking bums.
Did you see? I won't get you into that, bro. But for those that are interested, you're not even going to hear this. Fuck, you probably already listened. By the time you're listening to this conversation, you've already listened to Drake and I tear apart that some more on Dickhead Tuesday on the Patreon. So
we did.
No, well, we're going to Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
But we're recording this on Sunday night, so we haven't done it yet.
Oh, talk to me nicely.
Essentially,
got some new information for Daddy.
I do. It's not just for you, but for anyone that was interested, have kept up with it. Basically, they went through all of their statements and their depositions, and it basically came out that, well, they were making shit up. And wait, now it's out.
No way.
Yeah. They all perjured themselves.
Yikes.
And Brian and his lawyer asked for a judgment summary. Yeah.
Basically asked him to toss the case out.
Toss the case based on, like, this is complete bullshit. So we're going to tear it. Drake and I will tear it apart, but we're not going to get Kevin and Brandon nice, clean, political correct guys into the conversation because we don't want to do that to them. They've got real jobs. You know, can't talk on that.
This is Patreon exclusive content, folks. Washed up walk-ons.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to that post hoc, Drake and I tore apart seven of our former teammates 3 days ago when you're listening to this. Sign up for the
so
Patreon.
The way you said that. You said I tore up 17.
We tore them apart.
What?
Just bent them over. Yeah, that's wild. Anyway, where were we before that? Oh, you were Yeah, you're pumping out recruits down in that area, both basketball, football. Was that always the plan for you? Were you always gonna get into coaching?
Yeah, my degrees were exercise science and entrepreneurship. Enterprise leadership, which, whatever. I mean, I always wanted to go back home to Northwest Iowa. So, like, when I played AU basketball, I had to play for the Iowa Barnstormers. Uh-huh. Like, there really wasn't a great team like that traveled much around Northwest Iowa. So, like, I played well against them. So, I got lucky to have the opportunity, but I had never practiced with them, and then would show up at tournaments. And up until, so I had torn my peroneus longus. And had compartment syndrome my junior year going into my senior year. So that was when I found, because I was a hooper first for sure. And that was when I started lifting.
Can't hoop.
Stop it.
Used to be a weight shark too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I used to as well. And I ain't that guy.
Yeah, no.
I just wanted to bring that up.
But
that y'all used,
we used to throw weight it sharks, around.
And now you're just
Drake. Come on, it's Kevin. We used to throw it. Kevin got crazy. The jump you made was insane. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone just jump straight.
Yeah. I mean, when you put 10 pounds on it,
I don't care.
The weight's getting lighter. I mean, dude, you got to like 222, didn't you?
224 was my obvious. That was
yeah. So I'm sure the weight's got real light all of a sudden.
Knights was playing at 224.
Crazy.
Guy was thick.
Maybe, I was in the box a lot.
Maybe that's what it was. There was too much mass on that frame. It couldn't handle it.
Yeah, there was, but
what did you get your numbers up to at Iowa? Squat. Clean.
Hit 525 for four, squat. Hit 365 for four and clean.
Hold on.
I had the record in both. You had in both. And the 10 yard record.
You had 525 on the bar and did four with it?
For four.
Fuck, man.
That's so sickeningly impressive.
I felt so good with my 325 for 20 yesterday.
Oh, my God. Oh my, shut good. Up.
Sounds horrible.
Couldn't put
horrible.
It was, we visited the Upside Down on rep 19-20.
Did you pass out and fall over?
Yeah, I'd still be under the bar.
We got real close. We got real close. But 525. Sheesh. Yeah, boy, you were, I don't think Schulte and Merriweather are doing the same weights.
They shouldn't be. I mean, I shouldn't have been doing that either. That's the part of it.
Hey, who is that? Who is that Wisconsin running back that you Clement. Shit Clement. Trained though?
Clement. Yeah. Corey Clement.
Go, yeah. Go pull that film up. You want to see how the safety closes.
It's nice. Smoke his ass.
What?
It's on Bleacher Report. Find it.
Is it?
I got his ass.
Dude, he
and I never say that, but
evaporated.
And then he got up so fast, bro.
That hurts.
Sometimes
on our sideline. I needed help. Y'all should have kept him down.
Sometimes there's people that are just built out of different material, man.
I'm finding the clip right now because I want to watch it. Boy, now Corey Clement was built now.
Dude, Wisconsin didn't have a year where they didn't have like a NFL running back.
You make a good point, Kev. You make a good point.
I mean, yeah, shit.
It's been a while, man.
2013, they had Monty Jordan. Ball.
Yeah.
And
James White.
White.
Oh,
14, they have Melvin Gordon. 15, was that Corey Clement? 15-16? Was he in the show there?
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor.
And then 17, we got Jonathan Taylor. Now they got Braylon Allen. That dude might be better than Jonathan Taylor.
That's craziness. Let's slow down right there.
RBU? RBU?
I mean, for real.
Have you, dude, okay. Allen is an animal.
That doesn't make me feel good. To think that he might be better than Jonathan Taylor in college doesn't make me feel good.
I mean, he just had an incredible true freshman year. He's a good football player. So he might not have as good as an offensive line this year. Wisconsin lost a ton of players, but
complete sadness right now. But it's saying that the video is not available. I can't find it. Won't let me.
That Clement.
How badly do you guys just wish that we still had access
to the film? Right.
Really bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad.
I found the GIF of Snyder laying this guy out. Come on now.
Share your screen.
Oh, you got it under the chin.
Under.
Huh?
Yeah.
Let me share
your screen.
I don't know if you guys will be able to see it because it's up here in the corner. You see it?
Oh, yeah. I remember this play. Yeah.
Oh, head popped back a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? We got Bo Bauer chasing Josie. If you didn't get him, Josie was taking a head off.
No, he always was.
Josie
just goes ahead and spears the back of Snyder's knee right there.
Josie gets clipped by the guy because Desmond
– right. Yeah. Tore a few microtype fibers there.
Definitely some torn tendons there.
Yeah.
Multiple people.
Josie's been known to take out his teammates. Shout out Ben.
Yeah. RIP Ben.
No. Miles, though. Yeah, Ben Neiman, though.
Was that 2015 or?
That was 15. 16. It was right before 15. The Big Ten Championship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He put Ben to sleep. That's right.
That's a tough one. You know?
Nebraska?
Time, friendly fire. How about Nebraska?
Did they beat us?
No. You're a Nebraska fan now, Snides, now that you live over there?
No. No, dude, they're really easy to not root for.
They're very easy to not root for.
I literally say this.
The fans over there.
I say this every day. I am a Hawkeye in heaven. And it just was so affirmed yesterday. Literally Hawkeye in heaven.
Did you go out to the grocery store after that? Or like, did you go somewhere just to people watch after that?
Oh, I was out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, man. They were definitely drinking. They were drinking. That's for sure.
What's the talk out there, man? How are they feeling about the season going before Saturday? And what's the talk out there? What's the scuttlebutt about how the season's going to go now?
It was
firing Scott Frost yet.
Right. I mean, it was before the season, like I would say most people felt good, you know, that was a general consensus.
Is that any different than the previous four seasons?
No, but man, it's pretty easy at this point. I think, dude, it's even in now. I have to be careful, but people I really respect, I don't know if he's capturing, because here's the one thing I will say about Nebraska fans is they keep showing up.
They always will. I mean, they always
they keep showing up. So it's crazy to Yeah. It's a lot of 5-21.
It's bad, man.
Yeah, that's true. They do keep showing up.
I saw a stat today.
Did you see them in Ireland? Man.
I saw a stat today that Nebraska is 1-8 or 1-9 of their last 9 or 10 games. And the point differential of all those games combined is Nebraska -2.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one win's probably when they beat Northwestern by 50. So, yeah.
Well, it would have been before that because it was like early in the season. I don't know who they beat by a bunch last year, like in the middle of the season. I guess early-ish.
It was Northwestern. They beat them by 50.
And then all of their losses have been like 2.
Single digits, yeah.
4 points, yeah.
Yeah.
So many people were happy that they were getting Northwestern was the line. It was crazy.
-14.
Yes.
Well.
Crazy.
There
were some sad and less financially well people. A lot of them.
Shout out to DRF Sportsbook if you want to go win or lose some money, bet against the Huskers.
That's good money right there.
It's good money.
I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to last.
That makes me want to. I'm just going to take a quick gander at Scott Frost versus the spread right now. Give me 1 second.
Yeah. You figure that out. Snides, you have been on both teams. You have been in the room. You know the talent that Iowa, at least when we were there, put out on all sides of the ball, the talent that South Dakota State generally average puts out on each side of the ball. What is the realistic odds of South Dakota State making this a game? We've seen it happen already before.
Totally.
You were a part of it. Unfortunately for all four of us.
I'm 0-3 against NDSU, man.
That was a sad day.
That's tough. That was a bad day.
So it can be done, right?
God, they freaking got me on that too. Dude, they kept running that race action, and the fullback was cut me the first play. Dude, and when I say cut, my feet were 25 feet in the air the first play of the game.
I remember it.
And then
Tim Polisic.
They come
But yeah, they schemed us up pretty well that game, I will say. That they set up some things really nicely for the second half.
And then we also hit that Kittle ball, though.
Absolutely.
We hit that Kittle ball
on offense.
Yeah, and then you know, we get that one crazy CJ gets hit as he gets thrown. I think they started the game off 7-0, right?
Yes.
They started the game off with a pick six. CJ is hit as he thrown. That was a tough game to swallow, man. That was a tough game to swallow.
Oh, that one hurt.
It's like so the best reference is last year. SDSU went to Colorado State and beat the brakes off of them. And then Colorado State comes into Kinnick and damn near beats them.
Yeah, they played them tough.
Yes.
So, in my opinion, it comes down to
the transitive property does not exist in college football.
No.
People always like to do that. It's like, oh, we played this team tough. They lost that team. We should beat the. It doesn't exist.
No.
It only works in the math textbooks, not in college football.
But my deal is Iowa should be able to put up a lot of points. Like, they should be able to put up a lot of points. But I don't know if they're going to.
We don't know either, man.
We've been screaming that for many weeks now, Snides.
From my opinion, it's all about what do we see out of this young offensive line. They have to make significant improvements over last year in order to be an effective offense this year. If we get that, I think they can be a functional offense to the point where they can score enough points where this defense can win us a lot of football games.
What's the ideal number of points that they need to score for Iowa to have a great
season? Score 50 every game.
Oh, shit.
I mean, if they average...
Fuck, we got like 12 when I was...
I think
win
it's
10-6,
like,
we fucking lose.
Phil Parker's defenses have given up less than 20 for like the last
17 is the number, bro. I preach 17 because that's the number, 17.
17
and under.
18. You need 18 points. 18 points a game.
Yep.
Yeah, 20, we're doing really good. We might lose one or two games. We give up 20 points we score 20 points every game.
Yep.
But I think, it's two touchdowns, two field goals, and we're in business this year.
I don't see
which, how crazy is that, right?
So the reality is real, 100% real.
I don't see a line on Iowa. Is there one out yet?
No, I don't think there is. They don't really do lines that often on FBS versus FCS teams.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know if they don't have people looking at the FCS teams to handicap them, but I don't know. Yeah, I didn't see a line either.
If you were going to put one on this game, what would you put it?
I'm going to have Snides answer that because I couldn't really tell you much about what we got coming in back from South Dakota.
Yeah, I mean, I've never placed a sport, but I will not do it because I know how that will go once I start.
So. Okay, put it this way. These teams play 10 times, play 100 times. How many times does Iowa win? How many times does the Jackrabbits win?
I would say Iowa wins
94 times out of 100.
Yeah, low 90s.
90. Okay, then I'd put it at Iowa minus 20, maybe 20 and a half.
I was going to say.
That feels high.
Yeah.
That's high.
I would take the under easy. I was thinking like 15.
I'll take the
high. Scariest thing is, like, Iowa's offense has to be better, right?
Doesn't have to be, no. I mean, we lost our best offensive line, and we got a young one coming back. We've got young receivers, albeit should be pretty talented. And we have a quarterback situation that was not great last year and have no new faces. So.
What are the odds that Spencer just comes out and slinks that thing, you know?
It's possible, man. He has shown the ability at times to be a good quarterback. He is inconsistent, and he's had pressure in his face a lot for the last 2 years. But
there's no way I can keep showing up to a podcast if we're scoring 6 points a game, dude.
Well, I better start looking for a replacement then, just in case.
I think the thing with Iowa's offense, I always say, like, whatever you fear is what you should do. Like, my biggest fear as a safety and as a safeties coach is a quarterback that can run, because that's when it gets random, right? Like,
quarterbacks that can run are hard to defend.
Most of Iowa's throws are coming on time, right? So if you know the throw's coming on time as a defensive player, and you know that there's only a certain number of route combinations that they can run, you're going to play a lot faster, right? But if the quarterback is a threat to get out of the pocket, you can't jump a dig, right? You can't rob the curl. You know what I mean? Every single time, like, you're going to be a little bit. And that's when, you know, and that's what makes Iowa's defense so great, is I felt like most plays when they got into their formation, I knew it was like 1-3 plays just based off of Coach Parker and the way that he taught us. Right? Well, it's the same thing for other teams because we've been around for so long and the offense hasn't really changed that much. Like, there's not a lot of jet. There's not a lot of motion. Like, to get your eyes in the wrong place, it's very like, here it is. Can you stop it? And I feel like defenses in the Big Ten have gotten faster, and we're always under center too. You know, it's like that first second of the play is Spencer, who, again, and I love him, he's got a cannon, but like when he got on campus, he was finishing at the back end of every rep for conditioning, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's the kind of runner he was initially, right? So that's, I guess, my fear is, like, I think that he can throw on time, but that's also going to create bad situations. When the play's not there on time, can he create? Like, can the receivers create? And that's where I think they could be really good. I think that's the next step of the progression.
Right. And that also, when you have a quarterback who's not super mobile and you have a
mobile
and a line like who's inconsistent,
when defenses can get pressure with four, it makes life real easy in the back end. Really,
because you have numbers everywhere, right? So you got
numbers, and the ball's got to come out too.
Yep.
So if
there's five guys that they can throw the ball to, right? So everyone thinks 7-on-7, but it's actually five, right? So if you can rush four, where the side, if they go in empty, right, where there's three people, that okay, you can play with four, and the side where there's two people, you can play with three. So you have a one person advantage, right, on them every single time if you can rush four. Like, I'll take that. Every time, like law of averages, like that's gonna win,
and that's exactly why you see
Phil.
And that's exactly why you see the best defensive ends in the league get paid the highest money on defense, because they're that valuable. They can change the game.
Yes,
where
close the pocket and I'll let them out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, like, you know, I don't know. I never really felt confused playing against Iowa's offense. You know, I never felt like I was stuck on a check or didn't get a check out.
I think,
but they're like, what SDSU will do well is they will get your eyes in the wrong place. You know what I mean? They will hide it. They'll jet him across and bring him back. Shift, right? And then jet. Set him up and then shift. And then, you know, and that's what NDSU does great and Wisconsin. Right. Mm-hmm. So like now you're giving disguise, because if you just straight up play, it's really hard to run the ball successfully because there's no space with all those big bodies. But if you can get people's eyes in the wrong place and just get them to go upfield or take the wrong step or misread something off of the jet, now you have a vertical gap.
Like, you know, every now and then, like you do that. You shift, motion a guy over, you know, call started in this, got changed to this, got changed to that. Say you got, you know, you changed defense three different times just based on the formation change. If that's not communicated and everyone's not on the same page, then that gives your offense a great opportunity to take advantage of a mistake.
You might be able to set up the front, flip the backers if they're a tight end, if they're an under front team, and now you've got their inside box backer in space. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's effective for teams that do it well against teams that don't communicate well and are indisciplined. Iowa's defense is usually pretty good at handling that, just because, you know, we see it like you said, yep. Wisconsin runs all the time. Minnesota pre PJ Fleck would do some of the same things. But
they've gotten a lot better because they've seen pretty much everything now. Like that's what Coach Parker's knowledge database is. Like you think about Minnesota in 2014 when they jetted, like they were in those bunch sets and they jetted all over us and we've
been having an
adjustment. Like that'll never happen again, you know. Like that'll get fixed the first time. So that's what makes Coach Parker and this whole staff so tough. They've seen everything.
The filing cabinet is massive at this point. So he always talks about he's got these filing cabinets in the back of his head for, you know, I've seen this formation in this play back in 1984. And all right, this is what we got to do to stop it or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's not a whole lot that man hasn't seen. So, So are we predicting a low scoring football game then Saturday, Snides?
I think it'll minus 15 for the Hawks.
If I had to guess, it's going to be somewhere around 24, 10, 13, something like that. They might get one. I still think getting one's going to be hard on the Iowa defense with the outsize that they have. You know, I think the most success anyone has on Iowa's defense is a great outside one where you have to double. David Bell, for example, because we're going to continue to bet on, our guy to win, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an offense that struggles, but you have one.
If you're an offense that struggles, but you have one good receiver versus Iowa. Yeah. That'd be my recommendation is get your guy one-on-one and just toss it up, see what he can do.
They don't have that.
They play guys. Makes me feel a lot better.
They play bigger blocking type receivers. Like I said, they have a slot guy, I think, that transferred from Oklahoma State, who I think is a captain, which is interesting if that were to be true. So that could give them a decent threat. But, yeah, I think it's going to be really hard to score a touchdown on Iowa's defense for them.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, come down to Iowa's offense.
And we'll see. There's a lot of unanswered questions on that side of the ball that we're going to hopefully get a better insight to after
this. I know this. Iowa State is week 2. And we need to figure a few things out before we get to Iowa State. And it was always the case, right? Like whether we played them the second game or the third game during our careers, it was in that slot multiple times. Those first games, while they are still like, you can't overlook your opponent, you got to play who's on the field, they are absolutely tune-up games in a sense of like, hey, we should probably get some chemistry figured out here before we go into an in-state rivalry that's going to
I wouldn't call them tune-up games. I'd say like, you know, the first game definitely is an extension of your camp though. Like it's a practice in and of itself. Doesn't matter if you're starting off with a Big Ten opponent or
absolutely
FCS opponent. It's a learning experience for your team because you got a bunch of veteran guys, but you got a bunch of young guys who've never been around the sideline on a game day before. This is your first time that this team is playing a football game together. And that's in and of itself a learning experience. You got a lot of guys who are out there playing for the first time too. So,
and especially at Iowa, there, I feel like there's a holy shit, we're really doing this feeling. Like,
definitely.
Is
this me? Like, am I playing? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Iowa is a tough place to make it through a calendar year just because of how strenuous it is. And then you finally get to that Saturday and you're like, holy shit, is this real life? Am I dreaming? Are we really playing football? It's at least
how. Yeah. I would say that was the way it was for me until you got your first snap under your belt and then you're just playing football again.
Yeah.
Yep. I miss it bad.
The tight ends in this game are disgusting.
Do you have a tight end at SDSU too?
They have two.
Really?
Both teams have two elite tight ends. Elite. And middle backers. They have a middle backer that looks as close. He's close. I mean, like, he's got the same type of body as Campbell. I mean, he plays very similar. He's a six. I would say he's more like 6'2", 6'3". But he can hum it.
Okay.
I don't think their D-line will be able – I don't know. But like you said, O-line struggles. That'll be interesting. But the tight ends in this game are fantastic. Fantastic. So sick.
I know that the Iowa faithful are ready to rip.
Yeah.
Sold out.
Seven sellouts.
Sold out.
Real.
The Kevin RIP Ward, some Bush lattes.
Yeah. at the Kevin Ward tailgate, probably.
See ya. I'll be at the Nevada game.
You're coming to the Nevada game?
Yeah, that'll be my first one back.
I will not be at the Nevada game. I've got to get drunks in Arizona that weekend.
Hey. What?
Really?
Asher,
where?
Yeah, Scottsdale.
Drake's crashing it.
Oh, I'm crashing.
We're going out Friday night, man. See you there.
I'm crashing. No, I'm pulling up to the Airbnb. I'm riding into your fucking.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate you coming on, Snides.
Yeah.
It's I don't know how many other games we're gonna get to do this where we've got a guy who's been in both locker rooms. So pretty cool. We don't have, for those, you know, we usually come around to, we're going to look at lines. It's middle of the week. We record this on Wednesday. You know, I hit the button. We give you the
seven.
You know, we hit the soundboard. Then Kevin gets real hype. He sits forward in his chair and he gives us his picks for the week, but he doesn't have them yet. Right.
They don't got the lines out yet, man. What do you want?
All we can give you is what sits behind me and Snides, and that's Hawks by a million. By a million. Shout out to the true, the proud who have the limited edition.
The one thing I would say, the episode I really did appreciate, which is really cool, was the Swarm Collective and how well Iowa did that and is doing it. It was really cool to see them come out with it and the response from the fans, and like everybody followed Iowa. And as far as like the NIL club, right? Like the, like actually starting a club and being organized. Cause like Nebraska was first to like getting their best athletes an opportunity to get paid. So open doors, like getting on the website where you can literally just click on their page. Like, are you a friend, a fan, a business owner or whatever? Like how much do you want to pay them? Like, okay. But I thought, the two-pronged approach, right? Making sure that, yes, there's that, but there's also an opportunity for walk-ons to make really good money, and also, like, how powerful them doing, like, good things can be, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how powerful.
I definitely love the way they're setting it up.
Yeah, like, even just, you know, one Iowa kid, you know, football player going into a hospital room and how powerful that is, or whatever, right? And then, like, also rewarding them for that is awesome. So like, hopefully that doesn't get lost in all this, is like the continued push. You know, I think that's where Iowa could continue to separate, is to like be the best at supporting that second phase, right? And that's what they did. Like, they sold out all those, you know, those passes, and the interaction, like social media wise, with the Swarm Collective compared to other teams that I've seen in the Big Ten and I'm around, is really impressive. So I don't know, like, from an outsider perspective, that was a really cool piece of Iowa that wasn't a thing, you know, and I think was hard on all of us, you know, walking on and
Yeah, I tell you what, an extra K a month would have been nice.
Would have been decent, boys. Would have been decent.
They're worthy. They're worthy to be.
Drake would have spent it at Riverside, but
for sure,
definitely
every dime.
You're not gonna go. You know, you're not gonna bat $1,000 there with good deeds.
And $5 movies, bro.
Yeah,
$5 movie Tuesdays. Oh, a bunch of really subpar films on Tuesdays.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. That's like one of my favorite things I remember.
I do too. Drake,
when I live with you, bro.
Oh yeah, great. We used to watch a lot of movies at that damn Harkins.
Oh my goodness. Podcast now everybody watching yours.
Crazy. Stupid.
Yeah, we're coming, Rogan, we're coming for you.
Come on, Rogan.
Anybody got a final word here, final word on this pod?
I don't think I
season's got back, man. It's Hawks by a million. Let's go gear up for the next 12 Saturdays. College football is back. It feels great. Ooh, I'm jacked for another football season.
The next podcast that we record together will be Sunday, and Iowa football will have a tick in the win or loss column. Hopefully the win column. It'll be real. There'll be
Snidey.
We're canceling the podcast if we lose that game.
Like, oh yeah, for sure. We got to cancel the podcast. If the offense shows up and scores 10 points, the podcast has to be over because we're just not going through another season. This bullshit. It just can't happen. DHT though, Wash Up Walk Ons, patreon.com. That'll still go no matter what. That'll still go along.
We'll still go. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening to 347. I already forgot what number it was. Snides, thank you for coming on. You're welcome back anytime for any conversation. We appreciate your support. I know you've reached out multiple times. You're like one of the first people to be like, yo, I need a flag. And I sent it to you. We got it sent to you. So cool. 347. Hawks are back in Kinnick. Back in black. The swarm. The wave. It's all here. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We'll talk to you on Monday. Peace.
Peace.